The Republic Broadcasting Network.
Entering the second hour, and this is really exciting. I did mention, if you caught it, that you may want to be sharing the second hour from the archive with a few people, because this pertains to the Republic Broadcasting Network. So this is actually an exciting show. So my guest is Lori Neal. Lori Neal, she was a nurse for 30 years, and she ended up retiring from being a nurse a decade ago, just to start her own consulting business as a certified life coach, a medium, and an intuitive consultant. Her higher than average intuitive ability stems from her three near-death experiences. They're known as NDEs, and you're much more in tune once you've had an NDE, believe me, much more in tune with the other side. This is very common among those that have been clinically dead, and then they later were revived or survived. So obviously she's had major experience with the other side. Lori helps individuals connect to and understand the advice of their own souls or higher selves. She also helps people connect to their loved ones and friends who have crossed over in death. And her website is YourSoulHasTheAnswers.com. YourSoulHasTheAnswers.com. So you can read more about her and even book an appointment. We're going to be talking about that a bit later. But welcome, Lori. I'm so thankful that you agreed to come on the show.
Well, thank you so much for having me, and I'm really looking forward to this.
Right. Well, you know, I shared with you when we talked that the network, this, you know, the Republic Broadcasting Network, it's been around for not quite 20 years, but close.
Wow.
And the founder and owner and manager, John Stattmiller, passed suddenly November 5th, and the network is still reeling from that. And we're doing creative things to stay on air. We want to honor his wishes as much as possible. Of course, he, when he was alive, he was really not into much woo-woo at all. But now that he's crossed the other side and experienced what it's like on the other side, I'm sure he would like to communicate to the network about
absolutely
wishes,
yep,
what he would like to see, what he wants to communicate to us at this time.
Right.
As we're at a pivotal time in history. So he has a different perspective now. I'm sure he went through all the regrets. You know, he had all kinds of regrets. He wished he did this. He wished he did that. But at the same time, you know, you're anxious to communicate. So why don't you share with us some things that he would like to share with his listeners?
I will. Let me do that. So it is good that you did. I explained that my ability comes from the near-death experiences. I'd say the bulk of my work is often working with the people who have crossed over and helping the ones down here also learn how to do that. About 30 minutes before we got started here, what I do is I call in that soul for any of us, okay, not just those of us who are kind of really clear, but for any of you who you think of somebody who has crossed over, Whether you're thinking something good, bad, or indifferent, the minute you think of them, you've called their energy to you. So when some people call me, they say, what do we do if this person doesn't come? That doesn't happen when they're in the soul state. So John wants everybody to know that he was in transition for, I think, 15 days. If he died November 5th, he came out on the 20th of November. So for that time frame, that was the only time that he was not available to anybody down here. That's when he was getting all the questions answered about his lifetime. And, of course, oh, my goodness, did he have some questions. you know, because the earth plane is in quite a pickle, and he did not expect to leave it at that time. He was startled. But once he gets through that tunnel and then he sees everybody that crossed over before him that he loved or that loved him, then is when he gets to, first he, you know, gets to commune with all of them. He had family members up there. You know, there were quite a few people that he knew that had crossed over in his lifetime. So mm-hmm. after that little party, then he got to go and have his answers with the light. And his first thought is that he kind of sees the earth plane now as somewhat of a gerbil cage. And he says from the other side, it all makes sense. Everything that was frustrating for him down here, you know, the light explained why this is a big classroom and why the light lets us, and the light is the same as God, okay? But a lot of us who have had near-death experiences, we definitely call, you know, God the light, because when you're up there, that's what God is. It's not like an old white man with a beard. It's not a physical human at all. But, yeah, he could talk a mile a minute, but I'm just going to start with what he gave me in the half hour before we got started on this call, and that is that everything is okay, because the worst-case scenario is that you do die, and he found out there's only one place to go when you die, and he was pretty surprised about that. for some reason, it feels like he did think that there were different levels, or, you know, there's, I'm not sure what his beliefs or philosophy were. I'm sure that those of you who knew him well know that better. But he said it's all been a pleasant surprise. And one of the main questions that everybody has that knows him, he says, is, was he killed or did he die a natural death? And he wants everybody to know right here at the outset, he died a natural death because he was somewhat stressed out. He had a heart problem called atrial fib, where that's a problem with the electricity in the heart. Not necessarily a clogged heart, you see. This is electrical with the heart. And mm-hmm. that's something he was actually born with. And it runs in the male line in his family from his father on up. And I don't think that was known. But he did have atrial fib. He said he had a red bubbling rash at one point that he brought up to, I guess, his listeners at some point. The red mm-hmm. bubbling rash was actually a case of shingles.
Oh, really?
He didn't get vaccines. Right, he did not get vaccines, which I believe, I mean, he and I are on the same page there, and I was a nurse for 30 years. But since he didn't choose to get, say, the shingles vaccine or the Shingrix, he had chickenpox as a child, and therefore, or at some point in his life, maybe not even as a child, he's saying it was later in life, actually, a little bit, like, you know, not a little kid like so many are, but so that was what that mysterious red bubbling rash was, the shingles. And that spreads more when you're stressed out. And he was stressed out. He didn't like the way some things were going. But he also had hope. And, you know, that's what he was also working for. So, you know, but the thing is that he was also stressed out because he did feel that people that do the work he does have been persecuted. He knows personally that that has certainly happened. That was uh-huh. part of his stress. And when he crossed over and went to transition, the light showed him that, you know, had we not taken you out naturally at this time, they would have probably taken you out within the next year or two. And we weren't going to give them that satisfaction.
Uh-huh.
So that's what and he could, a lot of times once I get channeling, then they'll talk a mile a minute. They tell me what to say, I tell you. And for the communication from that side to me, is instant. It's like a download. I don't have to sit and wait for him to make his point for 3 minutes and then say to you, okay, here's what he said. You see, it's an instant download.
Uh-huh.
But he does. He has a lot to say. And he's also being he has, I'll just jokingly say, he has guidance on the other side as well. I was going to say handlers, but he didn't like that. He has guidance on the other side.
Of course he didn't like that.
No, yeah, handlers. He's like, nah.
That's so funny.
So he has guidance on the other side that will tell him what he is allowed to tell us. And there's certain things, since we're still the gerbils in the cage, that he cannot tell us. But he is laughing right now, and he says it is all going to be okay. And everybody does still need to work towards the ends that they were working towards, right, while he was here. And he says, I can actually affect what's happening there better from this side than I could down there as one man. And that's one reason that my soul planned it this way. But he is very sad for his family and everybody, because this was not something that I believe he expected. And he says, you know, there was something that I said that people felt was premonitions about my death. I guess he said something at some point. Again, since he was on a radio show, he probably said it to his listeners. Something that made everybody think, oh my gosh, he knew he was going to die. And he's like, only in the sense that we all know we're going to die one day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This was a surprise for him.
Right.
When
you know, sometimes you feel like you do have a premonition, but, you know, the rash really got to him. That was...
it hurt.
Right, and that was the show that people thought about, you know, in terms of, and then him dying. So they really thought about that kind of as a premonition type of foreshadowing. So,
and see, luckily, I mean, shingles is not fatal, okay, but stress can cause shingles. And can certainly cause somebody who has an undiagnosed atrial fibrillation problem or electricity problem with the heart. Maybe he was diagnosed, but the bottom line, he wasn't being treated.
Right.
And, you know, for that, there is some high-tech meds that could have been taken to keep him here. And he says, you know, that was frustrating to realize. However, his soul reminded him, this was planned from the day he was born. There is no such thing as an accidental birth. Or an accidental death. There's just no such thing, no matter how they leave the earth plane. And so that was very interesting to him. So that means that all the people who've been persecuted, right, by, quote, government entities or whatever, he's like, to my complete shock, their souls agreed to that. Because in a sense, that is a big classroom down there where when you're in the physical world as a physical person, it feels like the stakes are so high. And they are, in terms of what you will experience in the gerbil cage. But, you know, he's like, it's just a relief to see that there is a point to it all and that the things that we're working towards absolutely do prevail.
Well, we have a question in the chat.
Good.
Does your guest know what the autopsy showed? Because I didn't even know there was an autopsy.
No, I didn't know there was an autopsy. He knows that there was an autopsy. Yeah, the channel's saying, I didn't know there was an autopsy. He didn't talk about that.
I mean,
John, he's just up there laughing.
You know, he's up there laughing. I mean, he's just saying what he knows, you know, from the other side.
So
but,
did what
know,
I say match what the autopsy said, honestly?
Yeah, and so someone would have to know what the autopsy says because, you know, she's just... and it was from Murr. Murr, I just want you to know that that this is what John's, you know, understanding of what happened. So
this is what?
John's Statmiller's understanding of what happened to him.
He definitely has all the answers now. I mean, he's like, it's just so frustrating not to be able to tell you guys everything, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah, let me just ask a question, you know, because I think the network wants to know what would be his wishes. I mean, does he feel comfortable about what's going on? And right now, we really don't have a manager of the network. So
No. He says, I feel very comfortable about what's going on. I feel very much, I mean, you know, again, this wasn't his original plan. But once he went to transition, he found out that you all do have what it takes to keep this going. It continues as is in a sense for a while, but then of course everything changes and everything has, even when he was there, I mean, it changed over the years, right? But he says, you know, you do need a manager and, it feels like he's trying to him, he's like, you realize this channel doesn't know any of our people, but, somebody that was kind of his right-hand person. I mean, it feels like there's somebody that in his belief that they just walk right into his shoes. And, I mean, again, there's nobody walking into his shoes, but you know what I mean? Somebody who can certainly do it and keep things going.
Mm-hmm. So what would he say? Well, you know, I have
my own. Is it the person you see in the mirror?
Well, you know, there are some things. There was a guy. Oh, my gosh. Michael Herzog. So from the other side, how does he feel about Michael Herzog? A lot of people have thought he would be the perfect shoe-in to take over his position and run the network. I mean, I'm just wondering.
Yeah, there's
to know
a catch had, there.
He had issues with him.
You're cutting in and out a little bit. He had what?
He had issues with Michael Herzog and this life, and they lived together. They did the network together. Michael Herzog had his own show. He's very competent. He knows about advertising. And I was just, you know, want to know from John's perspective now how we would feel about Michael Herzog stepping into the network.
You know, it's interesting because he's like, he's certainly capable. You know, that's the first thing he is going to say. He is certainly capable. Now, right now, he's working with, you know, separating his physical ego from when he was John, you know, to the situation, because it is hard for him, you know, to say, here, you know, somebody else take the reins. but he's like, he's certainly capable, but it doesn't feel like that's who it is.
Yeah.
I'm not getting the, you know, the big, again, I'm not saying that that's a no, all right? But, you know, it's just like, it feels like there's somebody else who was more involved, who... I guess you'd have to give me some names. It's like any kind of multiple choice, I can figure that out. But it's like, who was at the top with him? Was he married?
No, Michael Herzog was not. And I don't, you know, I'm not going to throw out some names. That would be for the callers. I mean,
That's fine. Yeah. Anyway, he's just laughing because he's like, you know, this person did zero homework, did not like look me up on the internet. I should have.
Right.
I just didn't have time to. And so he's like, so she doesn't know who the characters are that we get to choose from here. But here's the thing he does want you to know for sure. It continues. Something got started that absolutely matters. There's people that work already there that, you know, are doing something that's successful with or without him, according to him. And he says, but he does understand that you guys feel like the ship lost the rudder. And he wants you to know that, in a sense, he's on everybody's right shoulder. Not 24/7, because nobody wants anybody in their space 24/7. But what he loves is he can be on more than one shoulder at a time. So he's very involved still. And in a way, he says, for those of you who are a little more connected or who let your blood sugar get down a little too low, you'll literally hear my voice in your head. And some, you'll just think that you had a bright idea and I'm trying to help you, you know, see the light. And he's like, this will continue and I will still be involved from this side. And that does make him feel better, because he was not happy to, you know, I mean, this was his baby in a way, this network.
Well, that's the whole thing. The network was his baby. He put his whole heart and soul into the network. That was John Statfeller. It was
a
network.
He's like, my soul's still in it. I don't have a heart anymore, and that's the thing that broke. So, pain in the butt. I was electrical. Definitely electrical with the heart. And then the shingles didn't help, because that hurt. And then all the fear about, just, you know, the more he understood about what was really going on down here. Even he had days where it's just like, are you kidding me? I mean, you know, there was some stress involved with that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
But luckily, again, everything happened, I guess, as it goes, you know, for all for a reason. And once he got through that tunnel and saw the people that he had already lost, he has been fine from that moment on. He was a little confused prior to that because, was he at home in bed? Like, did he just, like, go to bed and not wake up? Or what was the situation here?
I understood that they found him unresponsive, and then they rushed him to the hospital, and he was pronounced dead, and that was all.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time figuring, like, where he was, like, you know, living room on the couch, bedroom. But here's the thing. When he first, you know, like, was out of body, he got up as if everything was normal and thought, man, you know what? I actually feel pretty good. This is interesting. Because, you know, he had aches and pains. He had stuff going on like all of us do if we're over 50. And he's just like, wow, I feel good. But then he went to, like, a sink, and he tried to turn it on, and that's when he realized, wait a minute, my hand's not working. Like, you know, his hand, in fact, he perceived that he still had his body, but his hand wasn't able to turn on the sink. When you get confused about that, you retrace your steps, and then you go back, and you see yourself unconscious wherever it is that you died.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're just like, what is going on? You know, because he very much still existed and perceived himself as John, you know, John Stadtmiller.
Mm-hmm.
And, And then when he was like, what is going on? Then all of a sudden this tunnel did open up, and I believe it was his grandfather, like his paternal grandfather, that came down to get him. So, and then he went through that tunnel, and then he went to the party, and then he went to transition. And again, he says, I got out on November 20th for your time. There's no time where he is, so that's going to be really hard to be clear about timelines. That's the hardest thing for them on the other side, is to be clear on the timelines. If they say something's going to happen, it's going to happen. Will it happen in the timeline that we're trying to assign to it? Maybe or maybe not, but it'll happen. So, but anyway,
okay,
let me let them ask questions. John, let's let them ask questions.
Well, I haven't put out the caller number, but if anyone wants...
But even you. I mean, he's talking a mile a minute through me.
Okay, well, 512-248-8252. 512-248-8252. You know, I think a lot of people would want to know, you know, what John's experience. And it is true. You know, they're still very much connected down here for a time. They want to help us. They want to inspire us. They have a
right.
different perspective. And, you know, this was his baby. And he loves all of us, you know?
Oh, yes. And, I mean, he's just like, this is still going, you know, and but again, he says it will change over time, and he wants everybody to understand that he knows that, and he knows it won't stay exactly what his, you know, what his plan for it was. All he's grateful for is that it all matters, it always did, and it always will. In other words, it continues, you see. So it's
so
all
he
good.
He doesn't want it to evolve. He wants to see it evolve, and that... Even though he had, you know, a certain set parameters of the way the network should be run, he knows that that's going to change. That, you know, even his, you know, what he thinks is the truth, you know, for the
right.
network is thoroughly going to change. As
right. Luckily, now the information that you guys were all bringing forth and that everybody's been working on, that doesn't change. You know, just the, I don't know, how do you put it? The style of how everything goes, you know, the network will always go the way the person in charge is the one, you know, saying it goes. So, again, it can never be exactly the way John ran it when John's not here. But he says, again, I'm on people's shoulders. I am still very involved with this, and I'm very grateful that it does evolve the way it does.
Uh-huh. So... So, I mean, he's... I wish someone would, you know, throw out some names. I mean, he's not going to give you a name. He said
the way this works is that the name, like if it's a common name or something and he can draw a parallel, then that's how this, it's so hard to explain how this communication works. And I guess it's different for all of us, you see. But yeah, he could end up throwing out names. It's just, it hasn't happened yet. But he's like, again, when it comes to like who's going to maybe take over, if somebody gives her the names of the people who already work with this company, that would at least be a start. You don't even have to say anything about any of them. You just give her the names, and then we could go from there.
Well, I would say Michael, who runs the board, maybe in the daytime, or Julie. There's Michael.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it is a lot of time, right? And was this something that that he made a living from, that John was making a living from?
Barely, yeah.
Yeah. He's like, here's the problem. It doesn't pay that great, but again, there is a lot of satisfaction in being a truth bringer, right? You know what I mean? A light shower.
The whole network, there's believe me, it's a struggle. Without someone, okay, that was another issue, advertising. He had hired someone to do advertising. Right now, we don't have paid advertising. That really keeps the network alive. you know, because ads cost a lot, radio ads.
Right.
So he got rid of the person, the main person that did the radio ads for him. You know, they get 10% commission, and we haven't been able to replace that person. So it's been a struggle financially for the network, and so without paid ads, you are more dependent on your listeners than ever.
Right, so, and you know what he's saying? He says, listen now, there is a female that either already works within the group that he wasn't really utilizing in a good way, or somebody is coming along that will not only do this and has this this skill, but they'll do this without a salary until things do pick up. You know what I'm saying? Because there's some people who really do just believe in the mission. So how you find that person? Where are you even seeking them at this point, the person to help you get paid ads?
Yeah, well, that's the whole thing. She's throwing out the names. These are the people involved. There's Tom D., Stephen Elkins, John Moore is on the board of directors. There's the board operators, you know, Mikey and Sam. Then there's Julie in the office. So those are the main people involved now, I believe.
I think you need to put that out to the listeners then, because there's somebody out there who already does this as a job. I mean, they are in advertising, and they are avidly on board with what the mission is, the way he keeps putting it, and that they are willing to help out. I mean, this is a significant volunteer position. I mean, it does take some time, but they're willing to do this because, they're on board. So the thing is that they don't know that you need them.
Right.
So
yeah.
He's laughing. He said this is so important. She finally said something like, you know, nothing that I said was important already, but he's like, this was so important, is that you need to let the listeners know what we need, and somebody's going to step up who has that actual talent and will do amazing things in actually less time than somebody else would because they're not in that industry. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
He's like, we got to volunteer. Yeah. I guess that's the best way to put it.
Chad Miller wants me to put out that we're looking for someone to do advertising.
Yes, because you know what? It's interesting. He says the best person out there who's willing to actually give, and it's a her. I believe it really strongly. It's a her. To give strongly of, like, is willing to give of her time. Because right now the big problem too is. You know, I mean, if it's somebody who's desperately needing a job with a good income, that's really not something that's working. You know, it's like that's not where they want the resources to go right now.
Well,
I mean, it's something important. Don't get me wrong, right?
And if you can't pay 10% of an expensive radio ad to the person that's spending a lot of time doing it, that seems pretty wild.
Yeah, I mean, what this involves, right, is people networking with businesses and saying, will you advertise on our radio show? If somebody's already doing that, right, for their own whatever, I mean, again, especially, I mean, they must work for themselves or something, because it's like they're already doing that, and then they just throw in your option as well.
Right. Yeah,
so,
well, that would be great. Well, let's move on to something else. We've been, deliberating that for way too long.
Well, you know, he says it is important because you're right. This is part of what keeps the thing going. And he's just like, I just want you to know it does work out, but you do have to put it out there. And, I mean, you can't just, like, put it on some kind of a message board because, like, you know, there are people who would love to do that, but for a really great salary or something. And he does believe that someday it will lead to that, you see. So that's what he likes, is at least whoever volunteers or helps out, this is going to keep going up and up and up. The world that we're turning into, it's just like he's going to draw a parallel between, like, the new TV network, OAN, or something like that. He's like, they took off much faster than anybody ever gave them credit for, and that's the same with ours. We've been here, and we've been around for a long time, but at some point it takes off. You know what I mean? It's a much bigger network than it is today. So
right.
He's very happy to see that. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's a whole different world that, you know, he's looking down. Does he feel happy about the accomplishments in his life? I mean, you know.
You're cutting in and out. Does he feel happy about what?
The accomplishments in his life. Does he feel good about
his life? He does. He just wasn't done in some, you know what I mean, from his physical person perspective. He did not feel like he was finished. He's almost grateful, though, that you know, he understands why his soul wrote it that way, because one of his big fears in life was to be one of those people who sort of, like, you know, has the long, slow death or something. And he said, that's something that I've already experienced in previous lifetimes, and I didn't want that. And so once I did cross over and see, you know, just like the why of everything, I am grateful for my accomplishment, and I am grateful that I'm aware of everything still, because there was a little part of him when he was alive that wondered if he was able to be as aware of everything, you know what I mean, in the physical world as he was when he was alive. And he said, I can answer that question for you all. I am more aware.
In the spiritual world.
The spiritual world, right. He he is more aware of what happens down here. He's got all the layers where when you're in a physical body, you're just in that one dimension. You can only be in one place at a time. He's like, again, I feel bad for the people who miss me because it was sudden and unexpected. And everybody who's grieving me, I am sitting with you in that. He does hope that everybody gets past it as quick as possible, because he hates to sit in that grief with somebody. But you call his energy when you're sad about him or laughing about him or anything like that. But, you know, he says, I do hope that everybody will understand that I am really okay, that we're not done with our mission, nor am I. And, you know, he says, maybe by the end of this conversation, one thing they will let me probably try to say is, like, maybe when I'm coming back and how. Because reincarnation does exist.
Right. I mean, you and I both talked about that when we first, you know, our experiences with our husbands.
Yes, right, right.
Because we both have husbands that are children now.
That's exactly it, right?
A part of them, a part of their soul is here.
That's right.
But not their whole soul. That's a whole
The soul is the sum of everybody that it has ever been or will be. And then when you're in a physical lifetime, that's when you're kind of trapped in just that one existence, that one awareness.
Mm-hmm. So. But I'm just saying, you know, we both had very close relationships with our partners, and so we had that connection, and so
until you experience it, though,
really important for people to be aware when you're thinking of someone a lot, you know. After they've passed, you do draw their energy to them. I know the death that probably hit me hardest, other than my own husband.
Right.
I mean, there was a lot of them. You know, but that hit me pretty hard.
I know. The older we get, right, the more there are. But anyway.
Right. But Sally L. Cordy, a lot of people remember her. She had the show just before this show, and it's only been a year, and I was. Just a whole week I was just mourning, and she finally, you know, visited me at my house here and flooded me with so much love. And
she says, wait, you know, a minute, finally so visited much... you? No, she says, you finally picked up on me.
Well, she's a warrior. She was totally, absolutely dedicated to the cause, and she was actually sad that people were mourning her, because she feels like she, just like John, she can do more on the other side, because she can influence people, you know, she can, you know, I mean, basically visit them, and she, you know, plant inspiration and you know, lead them to be more prayerful, you know, and create, you know, better things for our future.
Because she's like, you're channeling me. I'm doing all the above.
Yeah.
And she says, but remember, we can be, when you're in the spirit or the soul world, you can be in all places at one time if you wish. You're not limited like humans are. So when you say she finally came to visit you, that's what she was laughing. She goes, no, you finally picked up on me. She had been there, of course, because you had thought of her. but there finally was that space. Yeah. Well, you know, when your blood sugar gets a little low, or if you're really tired, there's certain things you can do to make yourself more susceptible or receptive, I want to say, to communication from the other side. And everybody that lives on this planet can do this. a lot of people just tell themselves that it's not real, which really offends the people on the other side, you know, when somebody's literally communicating with them and then they just suddenly stand there and say, wait a minute, this isn't real, you know. It's kind of like if you have a person standing with you and you just suddenly look at them and go, wait a minute, you're not real, and you turn around and walk away. She says I can be anywhere and it doesn't mean she's with you 24/7 either, of course, but she is just laughing because she says she wants you to be aware of what was different for you when you did suddenly kind of really hear her, because she is confirming that, you know, you can hear her. I mean, you have communicated with her. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that means a lot to them.
People have a hard time on the station with the unseen, you know, because they see what's, you know, the only thing that's real is the 3D physical world in their mind. So, I mean, you know, I'm just saying, you know, we have someone saying, well, I hope John Stapmiller can still do at least one night a week of his radio show, you know. I mean, really? You know? I mean,
right.
He's trying to inspire us, you know, to be the
He will always inspire. He says, you know, I can even be, like you said earlier, more inspiring from this side than I could down there, because I can literally be inside your head. Now, how does that work? Well, if you were friends with somebody, then your soul will let them in. They have a good intent, you see? Because he says, when I say that you all will be channeling me now, that doesn't mean that this is like The Exorcist and I'm going to get in and, you know, you guys are being possessed. He said, good energy. You know, that's all fiction in the human, in the earth plane. But yes, he says, you know, I can still inspire anybody whose soul says, hey, come on in, John. You know, what have you got to say?
Right. And it isn't channeling. You're basically, it's a thought. It's basically what we call telepathy.
Right.
You're basically just telepathic someone's thought. And that's the way Dawn communicated to me. It was all, you know.
Absolutely.
Direct mind communication.
And well, you know the main thing people say to themselves when they're communicating with the other side and, you know, they kind of don't believe in it or they don't understand it, they sit there and tell themselves, I'm making this up. I can't believe I'm sitting here making up this elaborate conversation. And it's like, it makes the other people so sad on the other side because they're like making it up. Now I don't count.
Right. And it is really sad because we have such a lack of awareness of how vast and magical the whole universe is. It's you know, to make it like it's part of Satan's territory, or it's, you know, it's an evil spirit, that's offensive too to someone that's trying to help you.
Right.
You know. That's that's
even worse. When he got to transition, he realized that the earth plane is a giant classroom. And it's not the only one. And he said, you know, we always wondered, right? We didn't. I mean, he said, I definitely was aware that there were other planets and certainly other beings on other planets for sure, you know. But he's like, that's what's really interesting is that from the other side, you get to see all of that. You get to just see everything that
is. Okay, well, I'm going to take him to task. You know, he got really mad at me when Sally was alive. I was gone in the middle of the summer. And she brought in a guy that was actually one of the best. It was a really good radio show. But she would be listening to this podcast. There was no way of asking this guy questions. And so she had an opportunity, a two-hour show, to ask this guy questions. And he claimed to be from another planet. And he had incarnated here several times to try to elevate the Earthlings here, you know. But he had fascinating information. And it was he was very clear, and he was very, someone called into John's show and was quite upset that, you know, here we're channeling alien, or we're bringing people that claim that they're aliens or, you know, some, you know, off-world being, you know, onto the show, and, you know, that was losing.
It is hard, because if you don't maintain your credibility, right, with the masses, there's an issue. But he says, but what do you do when you get on the other side and find out it was real? I mean, you know, so as long as whatever you're bringing is real and has integrity, you see, which this did, but yeah, he was not comfortable with it because he was always so worried about maintaining that credibility.
That's right.
For the wider audience.
It's true. He was. And no, we had a long talk. And he didn't want
me to... He's like, but you win, because it was supposed to happen. He said, you know what I found out when I came up here? There's one universal truth everybody has to remember. It's crazy. Whatever happened was meant to be.
Yeah. I was trying to ease him into, you know, like, look, there's a lot that we don't know being stuck in this 3D world. And it's really good to have an open mind on all of these things and all these experiences, because our whole planet is going into this huge transition period as we kick off the bankers and, you know, the darkness that's been on it for so long. And it's going to happen. It just can't survive. Darkness can't survive when we keep, you know, doing our prayers and our meditation. We love one another and we start doing, you know, get rid of the greed, the guilt, the anger, you know, just forgive people. I mean, just...
Well, he was sometimes stuck in the the micro, right? Instead of the macro. And so he's like, I think that's what's so comforting is to see that from the macro, from the big picture, everything does turn out okay, and you can see that from the soul state. And then, but when he was here in the human existence and the micro, he was very frustrated that things that he had tried 20 years ago to try to maybe, you know, prevent happening and really worked hard, happened. but he also says they could have been worse if all of us weren't working on what we did, you know, and what you are still working on down there today.
Right.
He goes, it does shift, because he said, you know, the beautiful thing is that if it didn't, why would we be wasting our time, you know?
Because
he said that's why he didn't think he was done. He still pictured this whole agenda, and then to his great relief, he still has that agenda. He just isn't in a physical body, you know, labeled John right now.
So does John feel like we're going to be successful and that things are going to change? I mean, is he excited to be watching?
He is very excited because he said things are going to change. Not only because, in all honesty, things change because he's gone. I mean, to be honest, there's some way that perhaps he held things back a little bit in some way, because, yes, they do change. But the other thing is that the audience and the receptivity for what you all are bringing forth is growing so rapidly. So that's part of what changes is that, you know, with the shift that the Earth plane is in and started in 2012 and at 10 years in 2022, that's when you lock in the shift. It's locked in. And then it'll never be what it was before, just like the Ice Age and the, you know, the Iron Age, whatever. There's the ages, right? We shifted ages in 2012. And so in 2022, much of what you end up with in some ways, you know, is like the direction you're going to go. That's why this is a pivotal, pivotal time.
Right, so he is excited to be able to witness this.
Very, very excited. And understands that he will be part of it.
Yeah.
He says, I will actually, you know, he's like, I can figure out, like, in Earth time, they told me in transition, I will be on this side for 8 years your time. So for 8 years, I'll be working with you guys. And then at some point, he's laughing. He's like, I'm sure I'll come back in to a family that is somehow connected to all of this, you see.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you're drawn to people that you've traveled with in previous lives. It's just
he's like, I'm just so not done. I mean, you guys are going to take this baby for now, and I'm going to help you from up here, and I will come back. And, of course, I got to get through that whole childhood thing again. But I will have bright parents, you know, I mean, he is excited about that. He already knows all about that. And he's just like, so, but yeah, but for 8 years, I'm going to be working on this with you all. And the success, he said, I will understand much from this side that I didn't understand from my human perspective.
Right.
And I have the very receptive people, you know, in other words, that the people with the network that he's trying to assist, because again, it doesn't matter whether you believe in it or not. If you think about him, or even if you don't think about him and you're working for something that he started, then, you know, he's going to be able to influence that. Why? Because your soul's let him in, because you were working together before and you can continue to work together. I used to have a physician I worked with. He was a family practice DO. I only worked with him for like 1 year, took a year break, and then another year. When he crossed over, he became one of the most important spirit guides to me. And the fact that we once worked together in the physical world makes our communication just as clear as it was when I was his nurse in a doctor's office. And he's like, you guys, if you're open to it, you will hear my voice in your head as clear as a bell. And he said, and now I don't have my human stuff in my way. And he's laughing because he's like, some of you know what I mean.
Yeah, I do know what he means.
Yeah, I mean,
he's like,
he's not trying to be secretive. He's just like, it's, you know, it's a long story.
Well, it is. I mean, how long did he spend going through transition and, you know, the whole life review and, you know, learning about, you know, all of that?
It's like it was 15 days your time, okay, but
right?
It felt like 5 to 10 years my time.
Oh, really?
And, yeah. I mean, he's like, it's, that's why he always likes to say, like, your time versus, like, up there. He said, my perception was that I got to go over every single aspect of my life, literally from birth forward. I felt everything that I ever made anybody ever feel. And I got the answers to every question that I ever had, including the whys for all this crap going on down there with the control.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he reminds us, you know, God let Hitler live. I mean, you know, God's not necessarily going to protect us from letting other people take control of us. And if we're stupid enough to allow that, then it will happen. And
right.
If we are not stupid enough to allow that, it will not happen. That's just the bottom line.
Mm-hmm. Well,
he's
that's
like, that's
great.
It. In a nutshell, and now he's laughing again. Did he laugh a lot when he was alive? Because he laughed a lot.
Yeah, he did, but more sarcastically a lot near the end, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, he felt like everything was going to hell in a handbasket. He wasn't.
It was. It is. I mean, he's like, oh, I'm
right.
not even, and I'm not up here claiming that it isn't still doing that right there in the earth plane. But he said, luckily, there's people who are working towards a better end, and they get there. It does happen. He's like, I'm so grateful that I can tell you that because he's like, what in the world would we have to talk about if I came up here and, you know, basically saw Armageddon within 3 years or whatever some of the religious people are claiming down here.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I want someone to call in.
Okay.
So again, that number is 512-248-8252. I mean, it's important. This is actually important. Anyone out there that has experienced a loved one that you feel like you didn't have closure with, it is actually healthy for closure to connect with them. And if you don't feel confident connecting with them, you can go to Lori and make an appointment. I mean, it's actually totally worth it. YourSoulHasTheAnswers.com. Your soul has the answers.com. And she's in Colorado, and you can do the whole thing on phone. And it's actually, I don't know, for me, it's something that was really healing, you know, to do a little bit of connection with Dawn at some point, you know, because I was like, that was a little bit much, but yeah, I'm just saying.
Special is you were in connection with Dawn, of course, but sometimes when you contact somebody that does what I do, and believe me, there's so many of us, but then when we say the exact same things that you've been hearing in your head, that confirmation is so amazing, and that makes you more aware of this is real, you know, and then it just builds for people. I laugh because a lot of people are surprised that I'm trying to help them learn how to connect with their loved one, not just say, you got to call the middleman every time. Everybody can do this. And it's a matter of, you know, finding out the little tricks, like having a lower blood sugar, creating a space where you're not going to be interrupted because the people on the other side do not come while you're in the midst of taking care of your kids or while you're busy at work. You know what I mean? They come when you are in a daydream in space or something, when you have time for that. Some people never create that time in their lives, you know. They're going from the minute they wake up until the minute they go to bed, and there's no time for the folks upstairs to have a chance to say, hey, you know, listen to me for a minute. So that's why a lot of people will then have them come in their dreams, which Don says he also came in yours.
Yeah. Yeah.
Until he came back, exactly. And now he's busy.
Yeah, that, all of that. Yeah, I know. It was
right.
6 years old. Yeah, I don't.
Right, but doesn't mean that that's that his soul isn't still also Dawn and watching over you. See, that's what's so confusing.
Yeah, because his soul is bigger than his incarnation
it is.
Here.
Yeah, he's like, just a part of my soul came back. Just like anytime anybody incarnates, you only have like half your energy down there being that physical person, believing that that's all you've ever been or will be, you know, and the other part of you is up there. Like, say, for example, I'll have to go with an analogy here. When Lori was about 35, her sister in her past life was finally crossing over in her 80s. Now, Lori in her past life died at 29. So this sister lives for many years after her sister dies. And they said, do you want to come and see your soul take on that persona and greet your sister from your past life? So I said, sure. And I literally just watched my soul's energy on the other side turn into this girl named Karen from New York. And when this woman walks through the tunnel, she's a 80-something-year-old lady named Teresa, but this girl called her Tessa. And it was just the sweetest thing. And I said, so does that just, like, happen all the time without the person down here being aware? And it's like, yes, your soul continues all the business that your soul's already been involved with on the other side, even when you come back and incarnate into future lifetimes. So, yeah, you know, Don will always care about you and everybody else that he loved until they cross over and reconnect at that, you know, when you go through that tunnel. And that's the other thing. When I do my work, sometimes I'll tell somebody, hey, like in your case, I could say your husband reincarnated. Well, you're not surprised. However, when you cross over one day, he'll be there, and he'll look about 30 years old. And you'll be like, well, I thought you reincarnated. How can you be here? Because the soul can do that. So when anybody crosses over, you're going to go through a tunnel, and you're going to see everybody who died before you that you loved or that loved you. Because it's not always the same. Sometimes people love us that we don't love back. And sometimes we love people that never loved us. But if they mattered or we matter to them, they're going to be there and they're going to look around 30 years old. Why is that? Because they don't look old and they don't look young. And they just look like them in their perfection. And of course, they have to look like the people we knew or else we wouldn't know who the heck they were.
Yeah. I have a question, yeah. Lori.
Good, go ahead.
You know, a lot of people feel like it's a reincarnation trap, the whole thing of karma, reincarnation, that, you know, we're basically trapped here. And I know people that were free souls, and then they got caught in here, and they, you know, it's basically an alien portal where they're sucking off our energies, you know, fear and anger and stuff like that. It's like dark energy, and that there's actually a net around, and that you don't want to go through the tunnel. You actually want to circumvent the tunnel and go through the void, the darkness, and there's a net, and you escape through openings in this net, and then you are.
Oh my goodness, no! That's all somebody that's all. Well, yeah, I've heard that, but that's somebody who's a physical person who is surmising. Does that make sense? Because that's, if you don't go through the tunnel, then you become a discarnate. And that means that's somebody's energy who wanders around perceiving, okay, so for example, when John first died, like I said, he got up, he went to a sink. If he didn't go through the tunnel when the tunnel came, which there was no knot because whoever came to him, it was a male relative that he was thrilled to see and ran towards. So, you know, he went through the tunnel. But if he didn't, then he'd still be wandering around wondering why he can't turn a sink on, why he never has to go to the bathroom, and why he can't seem to eat anything either, because they're not physical, but they, if you don't go through the tunnel, you don't get to return to God, go to transition, and become in the soul state. You're just this discarnate. You're the energy that was a physical person, and you're trapped in the physical world, not knowing anything beyond that. That can happen for years at a time. I talked to a woman the other day who was renting a house somewhere in Costa Rica and in a horrible situation where a family had been murdered by the father. And when the father went through the tunnel, the little kid who watched this dad murder his family, including himself, was like, I'm not going in that tunnel. And it had happened years prior. And this little kid was still at the house. And this lady was such a sensitive that she could pick up his story. He told her what happened. She had horrible visions of, you know, the abuse that this father did on the family before he decided to kill him. It was just amazing. So that is a very sad, but also a rare situation. Most people go through the tunnel.
Yeah, no, I've heard of this kind of thing, you know, where that's where you get the ghost and, you know, this energy still hanging out because they refuse. And that's that makes perfect sense. I mean, why would they do that?
And, you know, in the case of the one I just told you about, the folks on the other side, they kind of showed me a vision of, like, them trying to fish for years. You know, like, we kept throwing the line or putting the tunnel there, and he just kept saying, my dad went through there, and I will never go where that person is. And they were just like, it was just a situation that was kind of unusual. But I think it was a matter of like 3 or 5 years even. So, but you, and it can be many years.
I mean, generally you have someone that actually comes, you know, that's a...
Exactly. Like John had this male relative, again, I believe it was his paternal grandfather. And I mean, he's like, when you see somebody that you have missed and they look 30 years old and hearty and healthy, it's just an amazing moment. And when they say, come with me, wait till you see who's on the other side of the tunnel, I mean, it's just too compelling.
Right. Okay.
I mean, he's laughing because he's like, I just got to do it. So, I mean, I could talk about this, like, you know, all day long.
Right. Okay, well, we're at the end of the show.
I'm sorry that nobody called in, but I just hope that, you know, that when they listen to the archives that they can call me then if they have any questions.
Yeah, okay, that sounds wonderful.
Well, thank you so much, Ingrid. I really appreciate
your, you know.
Not everyone
wants to call in, so yoursoulhastheanswers.com. Lori Neal, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're awesome. I really appreciate you sharing.
Thank you so much for having John.
John is doing wonderfully on the other side, inspiring all of us. That's a wonderful.
He's doing great, and he's watching over every one of you.
Okay, thank you. God bless you. Really
you
appreciate
too.
It.
Uh huh. Bye bye.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network.